House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Hey, Bobbers. Now that August has ended, so has our giveaway draw for the original Episode 10 artwork by Gerard at Pacos in Fabula. We asked you, what was the name of Ordome Swift and Dark's ship? And the answer, of course, is the Blazin' Pegasus. We'll be sending the art out to Rob, aka The Incredible Inedible. Thanks to everyone who entered, and thanks for all your support, your reviews, comments, and emails. The community building up around House of Bob on Reddit, Instagram, and Discord is a continued source of inspiration for us. Without further ado, here's episode 17 of House of Annihilation. Last time on House of Annihilation, Leanne, Horik, Douglas, and Cranston, along with the linguist Orvex Ocrimus, discover the remains of an adventurer camp hidden in the ruins of Omu. Wondering what fate befell the strangers, and running out of time to find the remaining puzzle cubes, they stumble into the trap of a dangerous tabaxi hunter.
I'm Dan, I'll be playing Leanna Cervana, the Elf Beastmaster.
Hi, I'm Jake, I'm playing as Cranston Thorne, the Half-Elf Bard.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on. The camera tracks swiftly over the dark and verdant jungle canopy. Wind rushes through the boughs of the trees and rain lashes down in whipping belts, knocking leaves and branches to the ground. The camera swoops in, catapulting through the raging arms of ancient trees, and zooms in on a troop of waterlogged travelers struggling to pull their way through knee-deep mud. "It's no use," sighs a half-elf, his disfigured face covered in mud. "We won't get much further." In dismay, the companion behind him cries out, "And what would you rather do? Sit here in the mud and drown?" It's a halfling, struggling to drag himself forward through the muck with two long walking sticks he must repeatedly yank back out of the mud and then stab downwards yet again. An elf, a beautiful blonde woman in brightly dyed leather armor, trudges past smoothly. Seems like the weather has barely made an effect on her, and while mud and muck is plastered over the faces of her companions, she doesn't seem to have a spot of dirt above her knees. You get the sense from her confidence and grace that she's the obvious leader of the group. She calls back, "Just don't fall in, Nepheim, or we won't get you back until the monsoon season ends."
"Oh yeah," grumbles the halfling, "and when does it end?"
The elf laughs, "Oh, another 3 months." The halfling stops in his tracks, his shoulders slumping. "I wouldn't let you drown, old friend. Here, let me take your bag for a little while at least." A fresher, less battle-hardened Douglas pats Nepheim on the shoulder and lifts the small man's backpack. Another new voice from up ahead calls back, "I've found shelter, up here." The group, elated, rushes forward, coming to a copse of trees with a tighter canopy. Small drips of water still make it through to the ground, but nothing like the torrent behind them. The ground is still wet and they slosh as they move around, but it's not knee-deep like it was before. The party collapses around their savior and Nepheim steps up to her.
"It seems like you're earning your deposit, lass. I'm glad we hired somebody who knows what they're doing out there."
"I had counseled you against leaving with such haste. Another day and the rains would have been light enough to go by canoe."
The guide is a beautiful Chultan woman, although she has a dark expression, flat nose and squinty eyes. The elf woman comes and offers her hand to the guide.
"Well, you've done well all the same, Salida."
Salida looks at the offered hand for a second and then up to the elf's eyes.
"I only did what I could to keep you alive. Anything less would have been a failure."
She does not shake hands and instead walks to a nearby tree to take off her pack. The group begins to settle in, but after only minutes, Douglas begins swatting frantically at mosquitoes and flies.
"Those damn bugs are back!"
Nepheim is likewise harassed by insects, swatting at his ears and hair to get the bugs away.
"Ugh, it's because the rain's lighter here."
The scarred half-elf begins to wrap a bandana across his face and nose and calls in a muffled voice.
"Come on, Constance, light that candle you bought, would you?"
"On it," replies the elf as she pulls an oilcloth from her pack. Unwrapping it, she reveals a black pyramid of wax.
It smells terrible, and whispering an incantation, she uses a bit of magic to light a flame on the tip of her finger. Salida, about to drink from her canteen, freezes. She licks her lips. She licks her lips again.
then inhales deeply through an open mouth.
That smell. Wait, where did you get that candle?
From one of those hawkers in the Mallard's Throat Market.
Salida stares at her, and her expression changes from one of confusion to realization, and then to fear. She turns, arms flailing wildly, and sprints out into the jungle. The companions stare after her in bewilderment. Douglas reaches for his drop bag, and then, from all around them, they hear buzzing. Camera fades out to black, and then opens up again as we see Douglas, gathered with the crew of the High Havoc, around the body of a Tabaxi hunter that they have just felled. As the Tabaxi falls onto Horik, the eyes of this creature look into yours, and you can see that even in his dying moments, he has this crazed look of a trapped predator. He's mumbling to himself, whispering,
The hunt comes to an end,
and then dies.
We speak English here, motherfucker.
We don't, though.
We speak common here.
The Tabaxi is dead at your feet.
I mean, I didn't want to kill him, but he, like, almost killed you.
He's asking for it.
Yeah, we tried to parlay.
Go grab his arrows.
Definitely. Yeah. Those things did 24 damage.
They were ridiculous.
Yeah.
You guys search his body, and you find that, yeah, he has some arrows, just regular arrows, but then at his belt, he has like a little baggie of poison smear that he puts onto them.
Don't put it on your bagel, though.
Yeah.
It is serpent venom. Creature subject to this poison must succeed on a constitution saving throw, taking 3d6 poison damage on a failed save. You have enough there for 4 doses.
Nice.
You guys set up beside one of these buildings and do a short rest. Go ahead and spend your hit die. You've laid this strange Tabaxi to rest. You have rested yourselves and recovered a little bit of the pain and damage that you've been caused.
All right, I take his body down to the river and throw it in.
A Viking funeral, absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to go and fall into the big lava pit.
Yeah, he will fall into the river, down the waterfall. He floats away. You give him a salute.
No, I don't.
Throw him a bird as he goes over the edge.
Thank you. I don't know why I'd salute this bitch. He, like, he dropped me.
Prove himself to be a way better ranger than you.
Well, I'm way better at friendship. Because he was fighting alone.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to be good at friendship. He just has to be better than that guy.
Yeah, exactly. He was awful, apparently.
So you guys find yourselves now at the base of another stone highway that travels east-west. To the north of where you are right now, you see another shrine to one of these 9 trickster gods.
And how looted does it look?
You'll have to investigate to find out.
Let's do that.
Find out next time. Find out now. Most of the other shrines have some kind of statue or distinguishing feature or anything on this one?
This one also does. You can see here that there are carvings of monkeys hanging from their tails, decorating 2 cracked obelisks that stand before a shrine.
Oh, great. And you just shot the monkeys.
Well, I was going to ask, do they look like the chimpanzees?
Does look quite similar to those.
Oh, good.
So Horik goes first.
I was making friends with these guys.
Past the obelisks is a courtyard filled with horsetails and aurum lilies. 5 archways open into darkness at the base of the ruin. Mounted above the central arch is a stone plaque bearing an inscription that Orvex is happy to translate for you.
Thanks, Orvex.
Yeah, where was he in the fight?
I was on the other side of the log.
He didn't double move.
My crossbow couldn't shoot that far.
All right, whatever.
He helped us in the last fight, so it's fine.
The inscription here says, better to be Wongo's friend than his enemy.
Yeah. That sure makes a lot of sense, Orvex. Good thing we didn't do anything like shoot at them or accidentally get them with an arrow.
I know that for sure.
Maybe you sit this one out.
You have these 5 tunnels. The central one has the inscription above it, and the other one to the right and left. You take a little bit of a closer look just at the entranceways of each, and you can see that the 2 entrances to the left and the 2 entrances to the right have portcullises built into the lintels above the corridors.
Should look through them.
Yeah.
I don't see Wongo mentioned at all in the legend.
He's the Sioux monster.
Okay. Wongo the Sioux monster.
Wongo.
Wango.
Wango, yes. Oh, we've been mispronouncing it this whole
Wango.
Time. Wango Tango.
The part of the story that relates to him is the Sioux monster broke into Ubtau's palace and stole a pail of water for the Omuans. When the god came running to find it, The Sioux monster hid the pail in a jaculi's burrow. Bubtail asked the jungle animals where his water was hidden, and Moa the jaculi was too honest to lie. When Wongo the Sioux monster found out how Moa had betrayed him, he vowed to catch the jaculi and eat him up.
We saw that totally happen. Did. Yeah.
Well.
But then that means
a jaculi is a snake, not a rabbit.
I thought it was a rabbit. So there's five entrances?
There's five entrances. Four of them have portcullises built into the lintels.
Okay, we'll go right.
Are you walking in?
You know,
as you are walking towards the front entrance, you walk between these two cracked obelisks that are set just outside. And as you're walking through them, you hear in your heads a cacophony of shrieking monkeys. And as soon as you walk past, it fades out. Annoying and like suddenly loud, but doesn't seem to hurt you or anything like that. It's just weird.
Just audibly hurts me. I walk up to the portcullis.
The corridor ends about 25 feet ahead of you in a hollow space with two eye holes.
How big is this?
Looks like it's molded out that you'd be like the inside of a mask if you're looking through into
the... Oh, so we can look through it.
Oh, okay.
Who wants to put their face in there?
I do.
Oh. Go ahead, Douglas. I give you a boost.
Push my face into it.
I push your face into it.
Oh, thanks for the help.
You're welcome.
Through this mask, you see a ray of blue light falling onto, it looks like a foot of a statue.
Okay. I see a foot, you guys. A single foot?
A single foot.
Human foot? Statue of a human foot?
Could be. It's a foot.
Five toes?
You don't know. You might have to go into the main chamber to see. Okay. It's all you can see through that mask is just a blue ray of light falling onto a foot.
Okay. I go to the far right one and I look through it.
Far right one, you see another thing of those eye holes looking through a ray of blue light falling onto a hand. It looks like a left hand.
Okay. Left foot, left hand, probably.
Some sort of large statue that appears to be in the central chamber.
Okay. So now I decide to go through the center.
Okay. So you walk into this central chamber about 25 feet in, and then it opens into this big square chamber. There is a 10-foot tall stone statue of an evil-looking monkey balancing on its tail atop a stone dais in the middle of a 20-foot high chamber. The statue's limbs are splayed out, with hands and feet cupped, facing upwards. On the wall behind, a sculpted relief shows a monkey-like creature tearing into a giant serpent. Cuneiform inscriptions are carved above and below the relief, telling the story of how Wongo the Sioux monster swore to eat up Moa the jaculi. Four masks of painted stone protrude from the walls to your left and right, and you think probably these are these masks that you saw. One of them is a lion, one of them is a zebra, one of them is a boar, and one of them is a vulture. The two on the side that you looked through were a zebra and a vulture.
Puzzles are hard.
Yeah.
So it's a monkey with its arms outstretched, palms up. That's a fat monkey. Oh, shit.
I love him.
He just ate a whole snake. What do you expect?
Well, snakes are skinny.
Not god snakes.
And also not most snakes in the jungle. Have you ever seen Anaconda?
No, that was a dumb movie.
But you've seen it.
No, I haven't.
Don't call Anaconda a dumb movie. That was beautiful. I love that film.
Sorry, I don't
try
want
watching
none.
It now.
It was a tour de force.
Jennifer Lopez, she killed it in that.
J-Lo.
One of the Wilson brothers.
Which one?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It was a Wilson.
Wow.
I think John Voight.
Why are you so adamant about defending Anaconda?
It was great.
No, it wasn't. It was bad movie.
It was a pretty cool movie.
It was pretty cool.
39%.
I mean,
what it got on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not the worst it could get.
Got 24% from the audience.
I'm not part of that audience.
Now that we're in the chamber and see the statue, do we not see these rays of light?
There's light shining down onto it. It's not like as highlighted, you think.
Why don't we try it where four of us look through and one is in the center room?
All right, and everyone yells out what body part they see.
Kate?
There's an inscription above each of the masks. Above the lion mask, an inscription reads, "I ate one of the boar's friends."
Oh.
Above the boar mask, it says, "The vulture is lucky to be alive." Above the zebra mask, it says, "My only friend starved to death." And the vulture mask says, "One of the others has no friends."
It's one of these.
The lion mask says, "I ate one of the boar's friends."
So we know the boar has friends.
But one less.
It might not have any
friends. What kind
friends
of
now.
Friend? Were they a BFF or just a BF?
What was boyfriend? The benefits?
Hormex is like, that information isn't here. I don't know.
Were they a boar's best friend or were they just a boar's friend?
They definitely weren't forever.
I don't know, but the boar inscription says that the vulture is lucky to be alive.
Well, I mean, we're all lucky to be alive, really.
The boar statue says the vulture is lucky.
That's correct. The zebra statue says my only friend starved to death.
Well, then he has no friends.
Well, he might not anymore.
And the vulture mask says one of the others has no friends.
Yeah, it's the zebra, because his only friend starved to death.
Did it say his only friend, or just say friend?
My only friend starved to death.
Okay. So he has no friends. Rough day for zebra.
I looked through that mask, and that was, like, the left foot, correct?
Lion is right hand, boar is right foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go up to the left foot.
And what do you do?
I look at it.
Okay, so you're inspecting the statue, looking around. You see that there's actually a bunch of moss that has grown up over top of the front of the statue, and you scratch that away. Another inscription is hidden underneath there, and Orvex translate that for you. It says, Wongo's friend knows where to pour the water.
Hmm. Who is the one that told Wongo where the water was in the first place?
Moa told Ubtow that Wongo stole the water.
Right.
Right, but Wongo's friend knows where to pour it, and these animal statues all have inscriptions about friendship.
Right.
Okay, so we have to figure out who his friend is and then pour it into that part of his body.
It's not zebra, because his only friend starved to death, and that's not what happened to Wongo, right?
Is there any more inscriptions on the monkey statue?
That is it.
Okay.
Who is he getting water for? I forgot.
Just himself, I thought.
No, it wasn't for himself. He was doing it for, like, a soup or something.
That night, a Sioux monster broke into Uptow's palace and stole a pail of water for the Omuans.
The people who lived in the city.
Right. Okay. So the Omuans are his friends.
When the god came running to find it, the Sioux monster hid the pail in Jaculi's burrow. Oh, Jaculi might be his friend, because considering he hid it there.
But then the Jaculi.
Oh, Jaculi was the one who betrayed him. Okay.
All you need for the riddle is in the room.
Okay. Well, then I go look more at the statue.
Yeah. So Lion says, I ate one of the boar's friends. The boar says the vulture is lucky to be alive. The zebra says my only friend starved to death. And the vulture says one of the others has no friends.
I think the zebra is not the guy, for sure. Lion is nobody's friend, isn't it? Because they're a hunter. So it's between, like, the vulture and the boar, I think.
Well, the vulture doesn't say he doesn't have friends. He just says another person doesn't have friends. So maybe he has friends.
One of the others implies that he must. If one of the others has no friends, it implies that he must.
I don't know. If I didn't have any friends, I wouldn't go telling people. Hi, I'm Vulture. I have no friends.
Does the lion say, ate the boar's only friend, like the zebra? Or just
ate one of the boar's friends.
One of the boar's friends. So the boar still has friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's boar or vulture.
This is like finding out who the most popular kid in school is.
Yeah, this is the hot or not of our generation.
Boar's so hot right now.
But vulture's close second.
Question is the vulture saying one of the friends has no... One of the others has no friends. Like, is that exclusively one of them has no friends, or
he
any number
zebra
of them?
He says zebra has no friends.
No, he just says one of the others has no friends.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're right, because it's just that we know that zebra's friend dies of, like, thirst.
So does that mean zebra's the only one with no friends? Or could others also not have friends?
That could also mean that.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Zebra only had the one friend, and starved to death. One of the others has no friends.
Yeah, so it could be another one doesn't have friends. Hmm.
I mean, the zebra has no friends because his friends starved to death.
Yeah.
So that's the one.
But he had a friend at one time.
But was it Wongo?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe we should read the paragraphs on the vulture and the
boar. I'm going to look through the boar mask.
All those four animals are not any of the trickster.
Okay.
Thanks. You're looking through which mask?
The boar mask. The
boar mask shows the left foot.
The left foot. Okay, I'm going to go over to the left foot and examine it.
Sure. It looks like a foot. Well, like a monkey's left foot cupped upwards.
Oh, it is a monkey.
It's a statue of a Sioux monster.
Oh, right. It's Wongo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Do we have any water to put in these things?
You can make water.
I can't make water. I can make more water.
We
can all make water in some way.
There's a river about 40 feet.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that part.
Should we just take a risk and try it on the boar or the vulture? It's a 50-50. I like them odds.
Yeah,
is it 50-50? I'm not convinced. Neither am I. Okay, if we pour them all into each spot at once,
then we trigger three traps at once instead of one.
Well, I'm going to go get the water, so while you guys think about it.
Just shatter the statue.
Oh, okay. I come back and it's all broken.
Just use your secret trap door thing. We can just like break it open.
That's true. What are the secrets?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know. We could, yeah, maybe find where the entrance is, but I doubt we could get it open.
Well, either way, Douglas is getting water, and yeah, he's going to pour it into the boar. The boar's one.
Don't just do it.
Well, I'm going to go do it while
all right,
you guys
Lee
are
runs away.
I like that you're doing it.
Yeah.
So you pour some water into the left foot,
mm-hmm,
and the liquid begins to sizzle.
Uh-oh.
And from the steam, three small elementals swirl out and begin to swarm around you, attacking you. Roll initiative.
Hork rolled a 5.
Well, you still beat Douglas.
Wow.
Rolled a 2.
15 for Lee.
Cranston.
11.
Liani, you're first. These steam mephits have burst out of the left foot of the Sioux Monster statue and are currently swarming around Douglas, attempting to attack him.
I'm going to do a knowledge check.
Yep, arcane. Go for it.
17 arcane.
They're elementals. They're driven by the elemental combination that they're a part of. So steam is like fire and water combined. They are dangerous creatures that are difficult to hit. They kind of shift in your sight. And you also know that they have a breath weapon, and they will explode upon dying.
Oh, okay. Ranged weapons it is. Do I know if physical attacks will hurt them?
Yeah, you think so.
Okay. Lee shouts to everyone, spread out. They have a breath weapon attack, so it's probably a spray of some sort or whatever. And then she's going to knock an arrow and fire it at one of the three.
Go ahead.
27 to hit.
That hits.
13 damage.
Okay.
And she'll take another shot as well. Same to hit.
Yep.
10 damage.
Your second arrow pierces the creature and it explodes into a burst of steam. Douglas, make a dexterity saving throw.
11.
You're okay. The heat of the steam exploding around
I'm like, this feels great.
Kind of like being too close to a pot of boiling water, but you managed to avoid the damage.
If anything, it just makes you wetter.
Oh my God, guys. Cranston?
How many are left?
There's two.
Two? So whichever one looks the least wise.
Which one looks really stupid?
One of them's like Aristotle.
Okay, well, the other one.
He's got
then
a toga on. Yeah. He's like hands on his beard. He's thinking about
dude,
something.
Dude, that's just yeah, a front, though.
Contemplating.
Sure, well, the other one I cast Vicious Mockery on. And like, your friend looks so much cooler than you.
Living life is like living in a dark cave with a projection. Something, something about the... Yeah, the mysteries of Plato.
That's the dumb one, right?
Yes, it is. Sorry, I'm making a wisdom saving throw?
Yeah.
12.
That's not going to do it. So it takes 2d4 psychic damage and has disadvantage on its next attack. 6 psychic damage. I get right in there.
Okay.
Right in the psyche.
Yeah. You never finished school and your parents are disappointed in you.
Jeez.
I was forgot. Captured as a boy.
Not you, work.
God, always with Cry Fest over here.
I mean, yeah, but if the shoe
always
fits.
Always with yeah, the slavery with you.
Playing the slave card again.
Jeez. I've known many slaves that can read.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just cut the last Hork, half hour. So.
Take your turn.
Oh my God. Hork. If Horik were to back into one of these hallways for cover, would he still be within range
of the explosion?
Yeah.
It seems like the explosion's pretty tight, like 5-foot range.
Oh, so. Okay. So Horik's just going to like get within about 10 feet of one of these steam boys. And he's going to use his lunging attack.
Sure.
So that he can attack from far enough away to not be part of the explosion
sure
himself.
Subject Douglas to all of the fire damage. It's cool.
It's fine.
Okay, so Horik's going to attack first with his mace. 12 to hit.
Yep.
12 damage.
Okay.
And then again with the battle axe. That's 11 to hit.
That hits.
That hits.
Wow.
That also has to be a lunging attack to reach. 10 damage.
Okay, this one also explodes.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Make a dexterity saving throw, Douglas.
10.
You are okay. All right, that brings us around to the steam mephit, the final remaining steam mephit, going hog wild, trying to scratch off Douglas's face, actually.
Oh, my face.
4 to hit.
And that does not hit, amazingly.
That makes it Douglas's turn.
Can I just destroy water on him?
No.
Aw, come on.
It just says you destroy up to 10 gallons of water in an open container. He's an open container.
Nope. No.
Okay. Fine.
Bop him on the head.
Yeah. I'm just going to Ray of Frost this guy and cool his fucking jets.
Yeah, chill out.
20.
Yes.
So he takes 4 damage, yep. And the speed is reduced to 10 feet at the start of the next turn.
Okie dokie.
Probably back off.
Yeah, I just start moving away.
And you move away?
Free attack!
Yep.
16 to hit.
That does actually hit.
4 slashing damage and 2 fire damage.
Okay.
As he claws you. And then it is Leanne's turn.
Leanne fires another arrow right as Douglas backs away.
Okay.
18 to hit.
Yes.
Time for it to go boom.
Ba-boom.
Boom, 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 boom. 8 damage.
Nice.
Is it dead?
Still around.
Okay. It's asking for another arrow then. That's what it gets.
Give me one. I love them. Existence is pain.
A shit ton to hit.
Shit ton will hit almost anything.
Pretty true. And max damage of 14.
That kills it for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Those steam methods are dead.
So it's not the boar, you guys.
I think it's not the boar.
Try pouring water in it again.
Okay. I go get another pail of water while sure. I think about it.
Sure.
It's definitely not the boar. So which one do we like totally rule out that has no friends?
The zebra has no friends.
Zebra yeah. has no friends.
His only friend died.
Zebra has no friends. So it's either lion or vulture. Vulture is lucky to be alive, whether that means because he's Wongo's friend and Wongo has protected him, or the opposite, and Vulture is not his friend and he's somehow still alive.
It is better to be Wongo's friend than to be his enemy.
So
that is the main inscription from yeah. outside.
So then he is lucky to be Wongo's friend.
If he is.
Okay, well, oh, I'm back in the room with
Vulture,
the
pail. Vulture, Vulture.
Have you guys made a decision?
Vulture, Vulture. I guess Vulture.
Vulture.
Okay, Douglas pours it into the Vulture hand.
Sure. You pour the pint of water in. And this time it does not sizzle. This time it remains nice and clear and fills up the left hand with a little bit of a sparkle and a shweep. A puzzle cube appears on the top of the Sue Monkey's head.
Yoink.
Suddenly, Douglas, you hear a snarling, disembodied voice in your head say,
take the prize and curse your friends who fight my children to claim it. What is your choice?
I guess I'm going to fight your kids and take it.
The other three of you did not hear that disembodied voice. So the very next thing you hear after Douglas fills the hand is Douglas say, I guess I'm going to fight. And then suddenly, clutching the Sioux Monster statue, 4 living Sioux Monsters suddenly appear. They're clutching onto the statue. They look completely surprised. Their eyes jarred open. They're open their mouths, and you see these huge fangs that don't look like they should belong to an ape. And they start screaming. Wah, ah, 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 and then they leap from the statue at you guys. Roll initiative.
I start screaming too.
Lee!
20 for Horik.
23 for Lee.
16 for Douglas.
Cranston.
23.
Cranston, you are the first to react. These 4 Sioux monsters are jumping off the main statue and are leaping, one of them at each of you.
Okay, fine. Cranston will scramble back a little bit out of the way of this monkey and fire off some banes. And if I cast it at 2nd level, I can hit all 4 of them.
They make saves, right?
Yep, charisma saving throw each.
What's my target?
15 to beat.
You successfully bane all 4 of the Sioux monsters.
Oh. Cool.
So they get a minus D4 on all their rolls?
Minus D4 on attacks and saves.
Okay, sounds good.
And then I'll also shoot a Bardic Inspiration die to Horik.
All right. Lee,
Ooh.
Your turn.
Okay, so they're jumping down at us?
Yeah.
Okay. Lee's going to take a step back, take out her longbow again.
Yeah.
And fire at one that's jumping at her.
Sure.
21 to hit.
Hits.
Cool. 14. And she wants to have Town attack. So she'll have Town step in front of her and attack the one that's jumping down at her.
Okay.
Town is probably going to use a maneuver. She has this pounce maneuver. If the panther moves at least 20 feet straight towards a creature and then hits it with a claw attack on the same turn, the target must succeed on a DC 12 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
Okay, so go ahead and see if you hit.
Okay. It's going to be an 8.
No, Horik.
Yikes.
Monkey coming at you. A monkey the size of Liani.
That's
so petite.
That's okay. Okay. So like a monkey-sized monkey.
Yeah, no.
A human-sized monkey.
Human-sized
an
monkey.
Elf-sized monkey.
Elf-sized monkey.
Elf-sized monkey. Okay, so like a kind of a big monkey. Horrocks just stow away his mace for a sec, and he's going to grab his axe with both hands.
Yep.
And take a big old swing at this monkey.
Nice.
That's a 14 to hit.
That hits.
That hits. Okay. 12 damage.
Yep.
And he's going to add his bardic inspiration die for another 1 damage.
Okay.
And then he's just going to take an extra attack. He's going to swing again with the battle axe. That's 11 to hit.
No.
No. Okay.
A one hit into the side of the Sioux monster. Second hit right over top of its head as it ducks down, going in to get a chunk out of you. Next is the Sioux monsters. First one is going to go for Cranston. Cranston, make a wisdom saving throw.
13.
All right, you lock eyes for a second with the Sioux monster, and you see this reverberating, pulsating sort of airflow around its head as it focuses on you and lets out a howl. And you can feel this psychic presence attempting to penetrate your mind, but you manage to shake it off. Liani, this Sioux monster is going to attack town. First hit, 23 to hit, and then second attack, 2.
No.
So the first hit, the bite, does 3 piercing damage.
Okay.
Douglas, Sioux monster coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
5.
That same sort of psychic aura bursts out from the Sioux monster as it locks eyes with you. You take 13 psychic damage.
Okay.
And are stunned for 1 minute.
Whoa.
1 minute?
A stunned creature is incapacitated. It can't move, can speak only falteringly. The creature automatically fails strength and dexterity saving throws. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage. So you are not quite unconscious, essentially.
Right.
You can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of your turns.
Okay.
So you're useless for a bit.
Yeah.
And then Horik, wisdom saving throw.
13.
You shake off that psychic blast that you saw Douglas fall down to. Douglas, your turn. Make a saving throw.
20.
You manage to shake it off and you're like, oh, oh my God. Okay. 6 more seconds and I'm good to go. Cranston.
Blast some monkeys.
Yeah, I only have so many spells left. Nobody's desperate for healing, I don't think, right now?
No.
Nope.
Okay, then I guess the one that's on top of me here, or at least going for me, I'm going to step back, and he has to make a wisdom saving throw, please. Minus d4.
He fails.
I want to see that 0. Takes 2d4 psychic damage and has disadvantage on his next attack from a mental assault of 4 damage.
Lee's turn.
Okay, Lee's gonna drop her longbow and take out her 2 short swords.
Okay.
And she's gonna try to step aside town and do some attacks. I wander on over and I take a stroll, a nice jaunt.
Yep.
And swing at it. 19 to hit.
Yes.
13 damage.
Dead.
Okay. These monkeys ain't so bad.
You drive your short sword through the skull of the creature, it lets go of Town's neck and flops to the ground dead.
All right.
You still have a little bit of movement speed and an extra attack left. Did you want to take advantage of that?
Okay, I send Town over to the one that was attacking Douglas.
Okay.
And it's going to do that pounce maneuver again.
Do it.
21 to hit.
That hits.
So it does the pounce and then has to make a DC 12 strength saving throw.
Makes it.
And just does 6 damage.
6 from the claws?
Yeah.
Okay, Oryx's turn now.
Tear this monkey a new one.
That's what he's going to do. So he's going to reach over. He's picking his mace back up. He's going to double fist again. Mace first. It's 19 to hit.
Yep.
And they're not armed. They're just mean.
Yeah.
They've just got those teeth.
They're just mean. Okay.
And the whole psychic damage thing.
And the whole psychic damage thing. Yeah. Okay. 8 damage.
Okay.
And then with the battle axe, 9 to hit.
No.
And then I'm going to use my bonus action and attack again with the battle axe. 23 to hit.
Yep.
10 damage.
And how do you kill it?
Tear it a new one.
Just like a big old around the side with the axe.
Yep.
And head right off.
Nice. Lopped.
Lopped right off. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. Sioux monsters are going to go. Roll recharge. No recharges on those psychic abilities this turn.
Whew.
First one sacking Cranston with a bite and a claw. 17 to hit.
Ah, just hits.
3 piercing damage. And the claw misses.
Cool.
And the one that's attacking Douglas no longer gets advantage because you are unstunned.
That's right.
Does a 14 hit you?
It does.
Take 5 damage. Does 12 hit?
Just barely, yeah.
Okay. You need to cast Mage Armor every once in a while.
I actually don't have Mage Armor. Oh, okay. I still need to fix that.
Take 8 slashing damage.
Now I need some healing.
All right, Douglas, it is your turn.
I am now going to cast Blur on myself.
Okay. Disadvantage and minus D4 to hit you. Whew.
Yeah. Hopefully that actually helps. Then I'll just back off. So we'll attack Town, hopefully.
Town's going to attack you is what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
Cranston.
I still got a monkey in front of me.
Yeah.
And there's one more?
There's 2. One on you, one on Douglas.
I got to get rid of this monkey in front of me before I can go over and heal you. We're going to switch to the rapier you guys have heard so much about.
Yeah, and legend.
23 to hit.
Noise.
Hits.
8 damage.
Nice.
Hold on, Douglas, I'm coming. And you get a Bardic Inspiration die.
Oh, thank you.
You can use it for armor.
Hooray.
Okay. Lee.
Lee's going to run over to the one that's attacking Douglas and swing it out with her short swords. 21 to hit.
Yeah.
12 damage.
Okay. Looking bloodied.
Good. 19 to hit.
Yeah.
10 damage.
Nice. How do you kill it?
Vertically.
Simple yet graphic. Love it. All right. One Sioux monster remaining. It is Horik's turn.
Horik's going to saunter over. Feeling confident about taking down this last ape monster.
Yeah, just go ape shit on it.
Same thing. Mace first. 25 to hit.
That hits.
9 damage. And then he's going to do the battle axe. 10 to hit.
That misses.
Then he's going to use his precision attack and spend a superiority die to add to that. That's an extra 5.
That hits.
12 damage.
That kills it.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
So good at hitting things.
I know. I don't know what that's like.
Good thing you guys brought a fighter, hey?
Yeah.
Straight up monkey killers.
Slash, slash, slash. These two monsters, as soon as they hit the ground, disappear.
I pick up the cube.
You got it.
Da, 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 da.
I think the person who killed the most monkeys should get it.
I am the one who put my life in danger so many times.
Put all of our lives in danger.
Well, you guys didn't hear this, but I'll let you know that my choices are either fight these monkeys with you guys or curse you guys. So
I curse just Horik.
I just want to point out, I didn't hear the voice, but...
But you don't know that.
But I heard about it, that they gave you the option between... fighting his friends or having your friends cursed.
Yeah.
And we established in episode 10 that we're not your friends.
Well, okay, I'll keep that in mind next time. It'll only happen to Orvex, I guess.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're friends, Orvex.
He's like, maybe in your mind.
That's all that matters, isn't it? In a friendship curse?
Yeah, in a friendship curse, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of karmic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, now I know. And I'll make sure to pick curse. And if you guys get curse, well, fuck you.
Now you know. You were the one who said it.
I don't even remember this at all.
I'll be angry, but also be kind of like, oh, we're friends.
But why not say, oh, we're friends, I'm not cursed?
Well, it's...
That's why I take that. Sweet.
Does that mean we're friends now? Have we traveled long enough together to be friends?
Yeah,
now?
I think we've been together long enough to say that we've been friends.
It's been about 6 days
I've literally
now.
Hasted you like 3 times now because you're such a good friend of mine, Horik. Specifically you.
Yeah,
I consider
what's a haste
you
between friends?
My best friend until just now when Horik. You said we were not friends.
Horik blushes and feels a little bad.
And now Douglas has to reevaluate his life.
So, you guys have got your third puzzle cube.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Now
I'm like
what?
Juggling them.
We're at 33% of the way there.
How many have been pilfered already that we know of anyway?
You've been to, I think, 2.
2, yeah.
That have definitely
There's
been pilfered.
9 trickster gods?
Yeah.
And we had 4 already.
More.
You've been to 4, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 of them you got, 2 of them were already somebody else had.
Yeah. All right. Well, high fives all around you guys. Thank you for not letting me die twice today.
Anything for a friend.
Aw. Anything but a curse. That's what I've heard.
Do you guys do anything before you leave the shrine?
Where are we at for time of day?
You have gone for most of the day. It is now encroaching on evening.
We should sleep time.
Yeah, full rest. Full rest.
Find a spot to have a safe full rest.
We should go actually where the lava is, and that's a good like kind of back defense.
Easy to get pushed off.
Pushes us into the lava.
Well, and it's a nightlight. I'm not saying like right at the fucking edge of the cliff. Yep.
Maybe we just head towards that shrine that we see and see if there's maybe some way across there.
Yeah, either way, I think we should go towards the lava.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be like that thing from Indiana Jones where it's like, you have to just trust that there's a bridge there.
Even okay, though it's like you camouflage. Go first.
Nice.
Yeah, that's totally it.
You guys leave the shrine and you are just getting outside the walls of the compound. As you pass those obelisks, you again hear the screaming of the monkeys in your mind. And then you get up onto the stone highway and you hear, "Well, well, well, my friends, it has been too long."
You could have cursed him.
I know. I literally was just thinking that. Before you said that, I was like, oh, would they get cursed?
He said we're friends.
Yeah.
It seems that you have beat me to this shrine.
No.
Perhaps you would like to pass over the cube.
No.
We actually yeah, it couldn't was empty. Figure it out. Go ahead and figure out it yourself.
There, just a little ways east on the stone highway, is Kozef Horklaw, along with six ghouls.
Too yeah. many
Fuck
ghouls.
You and your little dog, too.
Oh.
You can see in the stomach cavity of one of the undead beside him, the little lap dog, Masterpiece, is there just growling at you with its twisted teeth.
Man, take that dog to a dentist.
I just might, but I might have to wait for 2 whole weeks.
The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.